What episode is it?
Episode 4?
Episode 4.
Yeah.
Is it?
This episode is 4.
All right. Number 4.
Shall I be mother?
Yes, mother.
Go on.
Yes, mother.
Yeah.
To episode 4 of the BAM comic podcast. A couple of people talking about comics. There's me, Neil Goritz. There is the very intelligent and lovely Carly.
Hello.
There we go. And then there's the eye candy of the piece wearing a moleskin cat suit. There is the very sensual Stu Taylor. Hello.
Hello. That's probably the best introduction I'll ever have.
And it's the only one
I'll ever have.
Lots to talk about on today's show. What have we got coming up, Stuart?
So you asked me that as I take a cheeky sip of tea.
We're all ill, by the way, and we're all drinking tea and various remedies. So apologise. Mm. Apologies if we hack and cough. Deal with it.
But we've had pancakes because it is Shrove Tuesday today. So we might end up in a sugar coma.
We did. Lots of Nutella.
Imagine that.
So today we're going to talk about the Deadpool movie, which opens in a few days' time. As we're recording this, luckily or cheekily, Carly and I got to see it a couple of weeks ago. We miraculously blagged our way onto a fan screening in London. So we're going to talk about the movie, give it a review. I know Neil's very excited about that. Because you are a massive Deadpool fan, aren't you?
No, let's get over and done with. What else have you got?
So we're going to talk about the Super Bowl.
Sports Bowl, yeah.
Sports Bowl.
Yeah, they have adverts. I'm assuming you want to talk about that rather than Beyonce.
Yeah, well, I can always talk about Beyonce. I think Carly might have something to say about Beyonce.
Really?
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We could go on to that. Then we're going to talk about an article that appeared in the Observer newspaper about the new wave of comic books. Although they don't call them comic books. They call it the golden age of stories with pictures.
Oh, fucking hell.
I know.
Right, okay.
Then we go a bit trashy, a bit of gossip about the recent Angoulême International Comics Festival and the awards ceremony. A bit of furore kicked off around there, mm-hmm. which I found quite amusing.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Angoulême?
No, a furore.
A furore?
Oh. Were you just being Del Boy?
I don't know.
Monge too.
I know, it's a furore.
Bon Marie. I don't know, is it furore?
Tweet in and tell us. Tell us how to speak good.
Yeah.
Basically, some shit went down. That's
some shit went down at the French comic thing.
What you guys said.
Right, we'll find out about that.
And then finally, we close out with the return of the Sinister Society of Stupid, which, for the first time, you haven't got a clue who I'm going to talk about.
No.
So I've got some visuals.
Right.
I want to show that to you guys.
Exciting.
Always useful.
Yeah, and we'll also share this on the BAM Comics Cast Twitter page as well.
It's got a Twitter, you know.
It's got a Twitter. We have followers.
Hi, all 7 of you. How many people are following us now?
About 20-odd now.
20?
Look at
that.
Bloody hell. Wow.
That's... Next week, I reckon 25.
Steady.
I'm pushing it.
So a full show.
It's a full show. So let's crack on.
Let's get this fucking nonsense out of the way and tell me about the Deadpool movie.
Oh, we're going in with that.
We're going to go straight into Deadpool.
Right.
Like ripping off a Band-Aid.
So I know quite clearly you're not a fan of the character. To be completely honest, I've never been that big a fan. I remember reading Deadpool when he first appeared in The New Mutants. The scary thing is about 25 years ago when he first appeared.
Bloody hell.
He didn't really leave much of a lasting impression for me. I mean, his whole look was kind of a Spider-Man knockoff. But without all the intricate web drawing on it, it always seemed like a bit of a half-assed Spider-Man.
Like a morph suit.
Like a morph suit.
Yeah.
Deadpool, the character, kind of passed me by a little bit. I know when we've been to comic shows, he's probably one of the most ubiquitous.
You are deadly with the words tonight.
I've just got a thesaurus.
Can we have a Scrabble off?
We should do. So he's the most common character we see at comic conventions, I'd argue. Along with Scarlet Witches.
Scarlet Witches and Poison Ivy. Sure. Yep.
So yeah, I've never been a fan of, you know, it seems a bit of a lazy costume. Although saying that, last year at the MCM, there were a couple of guys who were dressed as Bender from Futurama.
Yeah.
One was Bender Deadpool and one was Bender Hulk. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Effort.
Yeah. Way to sully the name of Bender.
But I digress.
Right.
So Deadpool, the motion picture.
Right. Ooh. Hit me.
Hit you. So I won't go into any background, because I think by this point you guys are aware of it. You want to know whether it's any good or not. I would say yes. It's one of the most surprising comic book superhero movies I've seen. Surprising in the sense that they actually kind of do go crass, over the top sense of humor people are kind of expecting from it. It's not a typical Marvel movie, but it's not coming from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's a Marvel movie that's been done through Fox. I personally couldn't see it as coming out through Disney. But, you know, they may prove me wrong. They may do something equally as ballsy.
Okay.
But I can sense Carly's itching to kind of pitch in at this point. Someone who's got no prior knowledge of the character, really.
No, I don't. And I think for me, I'm still undecided as to whether I actually like it or not.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds is obviously...
fit.
No, actually, he's not my type. But right. I always feel like he just plays himself, just an extreme version of himself in everything that he does.
Okay, I can get behind that.
And not that that's a bad thing, because obviously he fits into some kind of niche and he works well, I think, in Deadpool.
Yeah.
But I'm still trying to decide, is this good as a standalone movie or is it good because it's Marvel and completely different from anything that they've done before?
Hmm.
I'm partial to a dirty joke.
Right.
I did find, and I even Stu was really shocked when I said it, that I felt like it was just relentless. The best thing about it is the soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And you had dick joke apathy, basically, I suppose.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, come on. Like, just over it now.
So how have they steered the soundtrack then? Is it sort of like Guardian-style retro?
Yeah, I mean, you said that as well. It's kind of Guardians. Yeah. But for me, it's eclectic. Another word for you.
Right.
I'm pulling him out tonight.
Yeah, my armory. You're going to be exhausted.
Yeah. So it opens with Juice Newton's Angel of the Morning, which is quite an unusual opener. And it's a really good title sequence where everyone's seen the trailer, right? So everyone knows there's a big shootout on the bridge.
Yeah.
That is pretty much the opening of the movie.
Oh.
And then you have it goes in hard.
Yeah. So then you have title thing is like a freeze frame of that.
Yeah.
You know, with Deadpool hanging out in the car, like giving someone a wedgie. And you've got this soundtrack playing. There's loads of little visual gags referencing Green Lantern for one.
Okay, fair play. They got rid of that elephant in the room.
Yeah, and then they pretty much crack on straight from that into Salt and Pepper Shoop, which I think, yeah, go on.
I've got a story about that.
Right. Not many people have a Salt and Pepper story, so...
Yeah, well, I've got a few.
Oh, bloody hell.
So...
Shoop, though, right? We'll stick with
Shoop. Shoop in particular. I was saying to Stu earlier today that... Shoop, if you don't know, is from the Very Necessary album, 1993. I was 12.
We are being schooled.
So you were 12 in 1993?
I was 12 in 1993.
And you share the exact same birthday.
We were 12.
Yeah. Yeah, I was 20.
Meh.
Yeah, that's funny. So I went down to the local record shop and got Very Necessary on cassette tape.
Yeah.
And I loved it so much that I recorded it onto a blank cassette tape on the off chance that it was going to get ruined, which eventually it did.
Sure.
So I would listen to the whole cassette tape and I knew the words for every song. And I was saying to Stu, which is a little bit shocking that my mum never raised the point with me that perhaps I shouldn't be listening to it because there were songs on it called I've Got AIDS and
quite a bit of times.
Sexy Noises Turn Me On, stuff like that. As a 12-year-old, I didn't have a clue what any of that was about, which was obviously quite a good thing. But Shoop was my favourite song. I do know it off by heart, so as soon as that came on, I was like, right, I can get down with this. It's a very good song.
Until literally you were ground down by relentless Deadpooling.
Exactly. Exactly. I was showing Stu some of my lyrical skills earlier.
which we may save for another podcast.
Save that for the patrons, surely.
Yeah. I mean, any movie that includes those songs and throws in Wham's Careless Whisper.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's pretty good, right?
And DMX.
Exactly. And DMX, of course, it's also in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's as strong a soundtrack as the Guardians album, but it's still, you know, it's pretty good. The movie itself kind of kicks off straight into the big action sequence.
Yes.
And you get the origin kind of told for a series of flashbacks while that keeps going back to the present day when you've got Deadpool on the bridge.
Yeah.
Confronting with Colossus and teenage Negasonic Warhead from the X-Men. Try saying that.
Yeah.
Three times fast. Yeah.
Well, credit where it's due. So would I like it? See, my problem, and no discredit to anyone who's ever written Deadpool, or anyone who ever likes Deadpool, but I've got this sort of thing that it's a bit like Shakespeare to me. So, like, I like Shakespeare, but back in the day, old William, old Dickie Shakespeare, right, was writing his plays for the common man, and they all loved him for it. But ever since then, it's been leapt upon by, like, this toffee-nosed, like, just set of people. They're like, oh, you must appreciate the bard for his art. And that's not what Shakespeare set out to do at all.
Got you.
Similarly, I think Deadpool has been jumped upon by a facet of society that is just completely socially retarded. They think they're in with the joke, but they've become the joke themselves, and just, if for me, it's all personified at like Comic-Con. When you see people dressed as like Deadpool and they're like running around being like, woo, I'm crazy Deadpool. And you're like, just fuck off. Like, maybe I'm just getting too conservative for it, but like the joke's kind of been ruined.
Fair enough.
On me, and I can't get into Deadpool. Do you think this movie is going to address that? Am I going to learn to love the Deadpool?
I think you'll learn. Well, not necessarily you're going to learn to love Deadpool. I think you'll like the movie.
It's okay. Entertaining.
I think it's definitely, you know, doesn't outstay its welcome. It's what, hour and a half, if that.
Mm-hmm. It was punchy. Everything was punchy about it.
Yeah,
I really liked the fight scenes. To be honest, they were pretty gory for Marvel.
Again, because you didn't have the expectations. You obviously went the expectations. You thought it was going to be like another Marvel movie.
Mm.
Do you like Kick-Ass, though? You've seen Kick-Ass, right?
I had time for it, sure.
Well, very similar to that. I actually prefer it to Kick-Ass.
Okay.
Kick-Ass.
So we are a British podcast.
Yeah.
With
the Shakespeare thing, I thought you were going to say that in 200 years' time, Toffee Nose.
People were like, you must perform Deadpool in the park. So, like, it's obviously a collaboration of studios. So it doesn't fit into the Marvel run that's happening just now. Like, so it's outside like Fantastic Four was. So you're not going to see Deadpool crop up in Civil War then. It's separate.
No,
from that.
Well, there's the whole licensing deal where Fox have the rights to the X-Men movies and Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four's
died in its ass.
Yeah.
So I think we can forget about that.
Okay.
There was talk about them linking the X-Men and Fantastic Four movies together.
Okay.
But because the new movie did so bad, it's like, we'll move on.
Yeah.
So Deadpool's very much part of the X-Men universe. We have two X-Men crop up in it. The X-Men mansion's in it. There are references, direct references. There's a probably one of my favourite jokes. It's very...
Go on, spoil it.
No, I don't. I'm trying to like say it about
saying.
No, we won't. Because we have people haven't seen it. And also, you know, no, we don't need to do that. But I think there's a couple of great X-Men related gags. It's definitely set in the X-Men movie universe.
Right.
And I don't know, we've got X-Men Apocalypse coming up soon. And I kind of like the idea of Deadpool turning up. Won't happen. It'd be quite fun.
You know,
you've got Apocalypse, so you can, you know, grow to giant size. You could totally see Deadpool coming in, spoiling a really deep scene with doing like a giant size dick joke, you know.
That's just set me off again.
I know. I get that revulsion every time I hear that because,
You didn't like the whole breaking the fourth wall stuff, did you? I don't think.
No, I didn't mind the breaking the fourth wall stuff. In fact, it sort of made it unique, really. And again, like he's really, really good at doing that kind of comedy. Honestly, I've surprised myself. All the dick jokes and can't we just move on from...
Apparently not.
A dick joke.
Apparently not.
I think we can.
We can move on.
So, rating it out of 5 dicks out of 5.
Oh my God.
Fair enough. I will subject myself to this movie for the sake of science and report back at a later date.
Just for research purposes.
All right.
It has its place. I think it has its place. And I would definitely watch it again.
Yeah. And we are very grateful for 20th Century Fox for being foolish enough to get us in there.
Yeah.
Sorry, 20th Century Fox, for slagging off your movie.
It's a great movie. I've got a goodie bag, though.
Right. What was in your goodie
there's
bag?
There's a story.
Is there a story?
Yeah, so we were given a goodie bag. It's a nice reinforced plastic bag.
It's a black bag with 20th Century Fox written upon it.
You can hear the crinkling. I've actually kept this for Neil because I know he's a big fan. I've got him a Deadpool beanie.
I would literally rather scalp myself.
And if you're feeling a bit sleepy and you're on an aeroplane, I've got a Deadpool eye mask.
They are official movie items, I see.
Official movie items. We shall give these away on our Twitter. Unless Neil has any strong objections, he wants to keep them.
You're all right, folks. You can win these.
Ooh, giveaways already. Giveaways. Fourth episode.
Mm. So one of the things about the screening, it was actually in a private hotel cinema screening room. So it wasn't, you know, big screen, you know, easy access. This is leading to a point.
And you weren't allowed out. Obviously, it was an exclusive, so once you were in, you couldn't leave.
Got towards the end, even though it was a short movie, I was absolutely busting for a piss.
Yeah.
Misjudged it.
And I did say to stay till the end credits, because there was an end credit scene. Speaking of which, we saw one, it was... Yeah, right. Mm. Apparently, there's going to be an extra one
in the general
as well.
Release. Mm. Okay.
So, yeah.
And there was another little surprise.
Right.
Credits are rolling up. Trying
ready
to get
piss.
Trying to hold together, thinking, okay, well, it's going to be like a couple of minutes end scene, I can get out of there.
Yeah.
Someone opens the door, and you see flashbulb lights going
Who
off.
Was it, Stu? What Who was it?
So at that point, I thought, fuck, Ryan Reynolds is here. Someone started moving chairs up to the front of the screen. I thought, oh, is they going to do a Q&A? I don't know if I can hold out for this. At which point, movie finished.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds comes in.
Yeah.
With Ed Skrein and TJ.
Hooker.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oops. Ryan comes through with a couple of the guys from the cast.
Yeah.
Saved it. To do a bit of, you know, answer a few questions, speak to the audience. So at that point, I was leaning over to the 20th Century Fox black bag, thinking if I could piss in it and get away with it.
He was sat at the very end of the back row.
Yeah. And there's no escape, because if I had to go out, I would have ended up having to walk right past Ryan Reynolds. And I just thought, it's just not going to work.
Would you have touched him if you walked past him, though? Would you have just gone for a quick grab?
No, frankly, if anyone even came any close to me, I would have just ruptured.
I would have touched him.
I'm really serious. It's like really, really
no,
bad.
No, I wouldn't.
So, obviously I didn't. I'm still very curious whether it actually would hold water, just for future reference.
It does look like a very sturdy bag, so maybe you could piss in it.
Oh, would that hold water?
That would hold water.
So, like
why
pizza.
Don't you
I've come
test
prepared.
It out?
Well, this is a first.
This is a first. So we're gonna put it in a washing up bowl, because quite frankly, this is my carpet. I don't want to get ruined. I have brought a litre of jug of water.
Is that the amount that you think that you would have peed?
You know what?
A litre.
When I got there, I reckon I did about 2 pints. So
Christ.
It was a lot.
Do you want me to hold your bag aloft?
No, I think we're okay.
Right. Right, that's a solid pint in that
solid
bag.
Pint.
Yeah.
No evidence of leakage yet.
Lift it up.
Oh, no, it does. Oh, look.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, there is when you
it's
lift
the corners.
It up.
It's the corners.
So, luckily for you, Ryan Reynolds.
Stu
okay.
did not stink a piss.
So, thanks again to 20th Century Fox UK. Please do invite us to the X-Men Apocalypse screenings, and I promise not to try and piss in one of your bags.
Or we'll bring a catheter or something.
Or I'll bring a catheter.
Bloody hell. Well, on that pissy bombshell, I think that's all we can say about Deadpool for just now. Let's move on to the sports ball ads.
Mm.
So, the American Soccer Ball Championship Tournament.
Did you stay
World
up
Cup.
And watch it?
No. I've always liked the idea of staying up and watching it, but no.
Yeah. You know,
I think to really experience it the best way, I'd like to be in the States to watch it.
You say that.
Yeah. So, Carly being our resident American country liverilla.
Right.
From time to time.
Occasional USer.
Yeah.
So were you there last year, the last Super Bowl?
Yeah, I've been there for the last 3 Super Bowls. To be totally honest, I'm the worst person to ask, because I'm one of those British people that lives in a different country and embraces being British even more.
Much like Sting.
To start off with, I've got absolutely no interest in American football whatsoever. It's just a pussy's rugby, as far as I'm concerned.
That's a box quote.
But everyone loves it. So, no, I don't have any interest in it at all. But then I don't really have any interest in football here. So,
fair.
Last year, I just flipped it on when I knew it was the halftime performance and then turned it right back off again and resumed normal life.
It was Katy Perry last year.
Sign me up for Katy Perry.
Yeah?
Coldplay I clocked off on.
Yeah.
But then again, you said you had a thing for Beyoncé.
Not so much anymore.
Right, is she sullied?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, sorry, Beyoncé, if you're listening.
It's all right.
She'll bounce back.
Yeah, she will.
She'll be bounced back.
Yeah.
A mutual friend did point out today she had a picture taken at the end of the night where she was staying at her Airbnb.
Yeah.
And she was sat on the couch with her shoes on. Like, Who the fuck do you think you are, Beyonce?
Wasn't it a $10,000 a night?
Yeah.
Airbnb.
Yeah.
And she's about to say some of the Airbnbs I've seen.
Yeah. There on the sofa with her shoes on. What a fucking liberty.
Rude.
Not in my house.
No.
That must have been Sasha Fierce and not Beyonce that was in fact sitting.
She was letting loose.
Fuck it. Super Bowl ads.
Yes. So it seems to be that the ads and promotions trailers that surround Super Bowl are probably more of a bigger draw.
Sure.
Or more of a draw than the sports itself. So did you see any of the trailers this time around?
I did. I watched, I think, a full succession of them. I watched the Bourne one, and referring to Bourne as the perfect weapon is quite funny because weapon's just an idiom for penis here. So referring to himself.
It always goes back to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Somehow. I'm just a big weapon. Yes, you are, Jason Bourne. But comic-wise, Civil War, which was really hyped up. Everyone thought you might see a bit of Spider-Man in that one. But no, it was just more of a sort of quick cut showing you more of the team, opposing teams rather. Fine, that's all I wanted.
Whose team are you on? team Cap or Team Iron Man?
In my conservative way of thinking, I'm quite Team Iron Man.
What?
Yeah.
A Republican?
Yeah, but like from a movie point of view, I'll go Team Cap because that's where the action's going to be. Carly is sneering at me. Why are you upset?
I just find Captain America, like, way too vanilla.
Fair play. But what about edgy Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier? A bit rough in the mix.
I do like that storyline between Captain America and Bucky, that friendship gone awry, trying to bring him back again, you know, and all that type of thing.
Much like us, isn't it?
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah.
My big metal arm clanking about.
But yeah, I don't get the Captain America thing.
You're like, get over yourself, Captain America.
Yeah, just bore off.
Just because you've been frozen for 60 years and all your friends are dead, you know.
Yeah.
Just get over it. Out and just get back on the scene.
Yeah, just stop moaning.
If my granddad was frozen in World War II and then was revived today, be no holding him back. He'd be straight down the pub. Straight to the pub. He'd be loving it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be moaning about, we'd forget Bucky Barnes in a heartbeat. Mm. He's gone.
Yeah.
So you're Team Iron Man then?
Yeah, just because I like how showy he is. And I mean, I'm going based purely not on any of this sort of like Marvel, deep Marvel knowledge or anything like that. It's just completely like based on movies.
Well, that's fair enough. That's what it is. I mean, I think with the cinematic universe, you don't have to have a knowledge of the comics. In fact, if you did, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
But how do you feel? Because I think we've got to the point now where you have to go in and watch Civil War with pretty much an extensive knowledge.
They want, they definitely want you to have a side, picked a side going in.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Go on.
No, I was just thinking about literally how they hashtagged everything at the end of it. Like, Team Black Widow, Team Vision, Team Captain America. And I just wondered, like, from a marketing point of view, like working in social media, like is someone counting who's tweeted what, you know, and if like perhaps if you like if there's a lot of Visions being clicked or a lot of Black Widows, that would maybe steer a decision or a movie being made in the future.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I was excited to see a bit of Black Panther.
Yeah. He was in the last trailer, wasn't he?
He was in the last trailer, but I'm getting more and more excited at the prospect of seeing him in action.
We're going to have a lot of him in this. I think with Spider-Man, I don't think you're going to see much of him in the movie. If they show it in the trailer, that might be pretty much
all
of it.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll play some small but pivotal role. One trailer that I really didn't like, that I know you're fond of, is...
I know what you're
going to
say.
Yeah. The Hulk versus Ant-Man.
Get
Fuck
out.
Off.
Get out.
Really?
I liked it.
He bloody loved it.
Yeah.
Oh,
but then I'm a massive Hulk fan, so anything Hulk-related I'm going to get excited about, especially in the cinematic universe, because we're not going to see him now till the next Thor movie.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
I mean, all right, it's advertising coke, I get it, but it was quite fun. Yeah,
maybe I'm just taking it too seriously. Yeah. Maybe I should just take a step back. Do you know what advert I really liked?
Go on.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
one. No, you could fuck off.
I'm sure the movies are absolutely awful, but I always wanted to see big screen Krang.
Krang. No, yeah. That was a big thing for the trailer, wasn't it, Krang?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's fine. I mean, actually, I like the original Turtles comics from the 80s. They're really, really cool. I like those. When it came on TV over here, I was probably a little bit too old for it, so it kind
we
of...
Weren't. Sars,
we weren't.
Yeah, you weren't. You're the target audience.
Twins weren't.
Exactly. God, getting ganged up on. Hey, you guys are totally the target audience for it. But, did you see the last Turtles movie? The first Turtles movie?
No. And again, it was that my whole worry about the whole Star Wars thing. Like, I know it's not for me. It's made for a generation younger than me.
It's Michael Bay. It's going to be shite, right?
Of course it's going to be shite, but, you know... That I would sit through this second Turtles movie just to see Krang on the screen.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah. They sold a ticket.
Are we missing out on any?
Yes.
What other adverts? Tell us.
There was the Batman.
Oh, of course. Batman versus Superman. Turkish Airlines.
Yeah.
Tourist board. You're just looking at us like we just made this shit up, haven't you? Did you see these?
It does sound mental.
I heard of it. I am so disillusioned at this point. I couldn't bring myself to watch it. Have I missed out?
I thought they were good. I mean, it goes. I think you'd hate them because you didn't like the Hulk and Ant-Man Coke advert. I think you'd equally hate this.
Right, okay.
So the concept is you've got one for Gotham, one for Metropolis.
Oh, that's clever.
Yeah,
okay.
and it's done like an airline advert for that particular city.
Mm-hmm.
The Metropolis one's got Lex Luthor in it and Gotham's got Bruce Wayne.
Of course.
What did you think?
Oh, I don't know. It's Ben Affleck, isn't it? I find him incredibly irritating.
All the hunks are getting a ripping tonight. Reynolds has got no love. Affleck's getting no love.
I'm ill.
You're ill. I've seen your defence.
Ill and vindictive.
Yeah.
What about Jesse Eisenberg as Lex? I found him irritating.
God, yeah. I don't know how that's going to work.
I don't think it's going to work, period.
Yeah, he's just too hammy, and it's just so... I don't know, just really, really overacting it, I think, and...
He's a good actor.
He's a very good actor. Good actor. But I just don't... Visually, he doesn't fit Lex Luthor, and I'm not suggesting in any way that he should be bold and God knows what. I just don't think that he suits the character visually, and I think that he's overacting it.
Yeah, I think one of the best Lex Luthors has been brought to screen was from Smallville TV series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
He sticks with in my mind more than Gene Hackman.
Yeah, Gene Hackman just played it for like laughs, and it's that kind of like wacky 60s loop.
Batman, yeah.
60s Batman style.
I liked Gene Hackman.
Sorry, Gene, if you're listening.
Yeah, well, when I saw it as a kid, I liked it. But when you watch it a bit older, you think,
No.
Although I'm not seemingly getting on board with it, I am really getting more and more excited at the prospect of seeing Aquaman in this film. And I know I'm in an extreme minority there.
I like Jason Momoa. I'm not quite... Again, I think it might be another Spider-Man in Civil War where he walks in the background.
Like, hey, you kids, stay out of my sea.
Yeah. Is that Tuna... Oh, I forget. I ended up.
What we got?
So, there was an article in The Observer last Sunday about the new golden age of stories with pictures.
God, we're a right old bunch of...
Miserable buggers.
It's the colds that's doing it.
Yeah.
It's written by Andrew Harrison and features interviews with the likes of Kelly Sue DeConnick, Fiona Staples, Kieran Gillen, Jim McKelvey, and Mark Miller. You guys read it?
I have read the article, yes.
Yep.
I thought it was a really good article. It's kind of nice to see, you know, four pages in a mainstream newspaper trying to be a bit more behind it than kind of, oh, wow, comics have grown up. And it kind of, the article itself kind of revolves around that where, you know, 30 years ago, mainstream media was talking about The Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen. As, you know, oh, look at how these comics have grown up. Used to be 1960s Batman, now look at it, you know, being really dark and edgy. And we've kind of been in a holding pattern, I think. All the media has perceived comics to be in a holding pattern like that for 30-odd years. And so what Harrison argues is that today's comic books kind of cross a wider spectrum of topics, making them more accessible.
Sure.
Bit more to it than just superhero fare. And he kind of suggests that we're in the punk and indie era of comic books. So they're kind of outclassing the major publishers. And the comics he talks about, you know, there's a couple of exceptions, Hawkeye, but mainly it's like non-superhero stuff he's picked out, mostly from Image Comics, actually.
Mm.
I don't know whether I'm just projecting, and fair play for waving the banner, but I kind of think a lot of the comics on this list nominated are just ones that people naturally grow into. So, like, you know, your superhero comics, your classics are like the gateway drug. And then I find, certainly throughout my own experience, that I'll seek something out that's a bit different, a bit more indie,
sure.
The term that you used there. And that's pretty much what makes up this list.
Yeah, when you've got Saga on there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you and I have read that.
Indeed.
Bitch Planet, it's fairly new. Which is good. Which is good.
Unfairly labelled with Orange is the New Black in space.
Yeah.
Which is not fair at all. It's so good.
Well, I think Kay Sudikonic says she'll take that. I
mean, I suppose.
It's a lazy summary, but it kind of gets you in. It's, you know,
it's an elevator pitch for what is a great comic.
So also on that list is The Wicked and Divine, which we've spoken about a couple of times. I have a strange bug walking up my arm.
That's yeah. Okay. You and your infested house.
Yeah. Yeah, the article kind of winds down with a quote from Mark Miller, who argues that he thinks that superhero comics, we know them, are going to kind of die out.
Ooh.
An oversaturation, which
that's
I think...
a big statement to make.
Yeah. I can't see that happening, I don't think.
Sit down, Miller.
Yeah.
No, I'm very much of the opinion that it's just the comic buyer's journey. I think those classic superhero comics will be around forever, and people will then just naturally gravitate to something that's more niche.
Yeah.
And it's not that niche can't have runaway successes like, you know, Saga has and whatnot, and become the new norm, but I don't know, there's room for everyone.
Yeah.
There's room for everyone.
Absolutely. I think, you know, having a wider variety of titles means it does open up to new audiences.
Yeah.
When I worked in a comic shop back in the 90s, you'd rarely get a woman in a shop, and usually it's a mother with a son.
Yeah.
Or a kind of a girlfriend dragged along begrudgingly.
Completely out of their element.
Yeah, and you know, and then absolutely, because there wasn't stuff that was really catering for them. Mm. It was very much an exception. But now, you know, you go into any comic shop in London, and I'd say argue that, particularly peak times, it's pretty much 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's great. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, there's the more diverse, the better. Like, I see Miller's point, like, there's only so many comics I can read about a male superhero battling against robots and mutants and whatnot. So that's why I started seeking a change and something a bit more niche. But yeah, the more diversity breeds the kind of comics that are on that hot list, then fine, bring it on. I think there's just room for everyone.
But don't you think it's also TV shows that are now being aired that have originated from comics, The Walking Dead being probably the most prominent that I can think of.
Not a superhero in sight on that one.
No, not a superhero in sight. And The Walking Dead comics, arguably, might be a little bit better than the TV show.
No, I go with that.
At times, I would say so. And because I know that for me, I started reading The Walking Dead comics.
Yeah.
And then the TV show came after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that also has sort of broadened the audience out as well.
So that's serving as a gateway for people now.
And it's a different style. It's not... If you're not really privy to comic books at all...
Yeah.
You would wrongly presume that they're all sort of superhero-type artwork and storylines and, you know, and this, that and the other. It doesn't cater to everybody. It certainly doesn't really cater to me. Mm. And then when you see artwork that you'll find in things like Saga and The Walking Dead and stuff like that, which are obviously two completely different genres, but it's a whole different style of art. And it's interesting, and it's much more real.
So Mark Miller was right.
Yeah.
I was right. We're fucked.
We are fucked.
We're fucked.
Holy hole in a donut!
And we're back in the room.
So take us to France. What happened in France? What happened?
Ooh, it's so exciting. I love this one.
Amazing. Yeah. It's a comic book story, but it actually works as a did-they-really-do-that kind of story.
Right.
So Angoulême International Comics Festival has been going for years in France.
Okay.
Isn't it like the festival or the award that you're aiming for? It's like your BAFTAs or your Oscars.
Yeah, kind of pretty well. Absolutely. Like Cannes kind of festival for comics. And I think it's well respected, I'd say, up until recently.
Yeah, maybe not anymore.
Okay. Yeah, not anymore. So it took place recently. And initially it got a lot of stick because in the awards, no female creators were actually nominated. Okay. In the award categories.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Not very forward thinking. Actually, it's not even forward thinking. It's not very modern thinking, you know, considering the amount of female creators that are out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not keen on the idea of separating men and female. I think it should all be combined. But I totally get that we're not quite here, quite balanced yet. Far from balanced.
Yeah, and that goes on to a whole other subject matter that you could really delve into, because not only are women underrepresented within comics anyway, but also within Angoulême Comic Festival, they're not represented very well either. To the point that 12 of the male nominees ended up dropping out because they were so horrified.
Really?
It. Yeah.
Fair play though. Well done, guys. It's good. It's a good move.
But
well, that's it. So you would have thought, you know,
right?
Move on.
Right.
Take it on the chin.
Right.
Organisers might say, you know what? All right, we made a point. So come the awards night.
Oh, you're missing something out there. How did they rectify their mistake when they realised that 12 men had boycotted the nominations?
Go on.
They decided that as a some sort of a commiseration, they would add two women to the nominations.
Okay.
As a fix. Right. But they were women who had been nominated in years previous anyway. So they still weren't really thinking outside of the box anyway. They were just like, oh, let's just wheel some women in that have already been doing the rounds anyway. I mean, it's just completely thoughtless.
Mm.
Yeah.
Completely thoughtless.
Just like, this literally is leaning over, isn't it? Going, looking back in your file from 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Putting under W for women. Okay.
Yeah.
Then what happened?
During the awards themselves, the host, French comedian Richard Guettet or Guettet. Why not put a French accent when I said that?
Sorry if you're listening, Richard.
Yeah, yeah.
Tweet in and tell us how to pronounce your name.
Okay. A French comedian called Richard.
Right.
Said he was going to power through the awards since everyone was like really there to kind of, you know, have a few drinks, have a dance, have a bit of a party. So he literally rattled through him like, you know, the winner of this award is bum, 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 and done.
Okay.
Which, you know, I've been to a few industry award ceremonies and that to me is like manna from heaven because they usually drag on for way too long. Acceptance speeches, you know, pose for photographs.
Oh, God.
So yeah, he rattled through really, really quickly. Understandably, if your name has been read out, you're really excited about it. And we're in a social media age, so you're going to go on Twitter, aren't you? And go, oh, I've just won the award. Really excited. Are you going to text your friends, your colleagues?
Congratulate your boyfriend.
Congratulate your boyfriend.
Fool me, mum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of this stuff, which is what they did.
Okay.
Great, right?
Right.
However.
However.
However. It was all a joke.
Dun, 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 dun.
So basically, they were fake winners. It was part of this chap's act.
But the fake winners didn't know, they weren't in on the joke.
Yeah.
They genuinely thought that they had won.
At which point, of course, he then cracks on with the proper awards, seemingly oblivious to the devastation he'd wrought.
Yeah, he wreaked havoc amongst the audience.
Right.
And it went down like a cup of cold sick. And I totally get it. I mean,
so gross. Such a disgusting thing to say.
But I'm right there, right?
No, it was, yeah. Girls were crying, running out, which is true.
Yeah,
so I've been gutted. I'd have cried. I'd have cried. I'm not ashamed to admit it.
I'd have been very upset.
Yeah. So anyway, obviously the organisers got a lot of stick for this. They were pretty unrepentant, saying that it was in keeping with the independent spirit of most comic creators. I like the way they use the word most there.
Mm. And that they'd given him basically artistic licence to do what he wanted. And then blamed social media and said that it was a Twitter dictatorship.
Yeah, pretty much they're telling all the fake winners to stop pissing and moaning about it, which is pretty fucking harsh.
Yeah, but the comedian himself was extremely apologetic. And
to be fair, he did come out and say, like, really sorry, misjudged it.
Yeah.
So yeah, look at that.
That's what happens when you misjudge an audience in a comedy moment.
So when you're thinking about making a joke about the BAM podcast winning an award for best podcast in the universe. So make the joke. Just give us our award.
Yeah, or just do a dick joke.
It's gone full circle. What else have you got for us in your comic bag?
So we're back. It took a break last week.
Right.
Or last.
Some say a long overdue absence.
You're not a fan of this, are you?
Well, let's see what you've got for us this week.
So we're back. The Sinister Society of Stupid is back.
It needs
a jingle. We're going to do a jingle. Actually, do you know what?
Right.
Let's
tweet us in with your jingle.
No, let's do it. Let's cut to a jingle.
Right.
Actually, no, let's not. Do us a jingle.
we haven't got the brain power.
I just realised the work is involved. No, give us a jingle. We would like any jingle submissions you have for the Sinister Society of Stupid.
All 25 of you, potentially 25.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of you's got to pull one out of the hat. So this time around, we have, you know, I don't know if I should show you the visuals first or I should just, like, leap into it.
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you the visuals.
Okay.
So here we go. This is Ruby Thursday.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'm a little upset that I missed Slipknot.
Missed is a... Right. Right, God this...
Well, why don't you describe what we're seeing?
Reactions, what you're seeing. So basically, you're looking at...
Right, imagine if you will, a svelte lady in sort of like PVC trousers and boots.
And naturally her boobs are out. Obviously.
Naturally her boobs are out in a little crop top thing. And she appears to be wearing a red Christmas bauble over her head. You can't see her face. You cannot see her face. It's just a big red blob. And from the looks of these panels, she has an ability to morph blob on her head into all sorts of things like a hammer or a big pair of lips.
Oh, indeed. Or she has been known to turn it into a gun and to project energy blasts. So what you're looking at is actually not something over her head. That actually is her head. She grafted an organic computer to her head.
Right, one of those.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Made of shape-shifting red plastic.
An organic computer.
Yeah.
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 One of those organic computers you hear about.
So we're in the realms of mad scientist kind of stuff here. So her real name's Thursday Rubenstein. What a coincidence that, you know.
Why not Ruby Tuesday? Why Ruby Thursday?
Copyright. Probably.
Fuck's sake. Right, okay.
So she's a member of the Headmen, which is a... Come on, I'm going to bring it back. Which is a quartet team of science and sorcery-based villains.
Those two normally mix very well.
They do mix.
Science and sorcery, yeah.
So she's taken on She-Hulk, the Avengers and the X-Men. She first appeared in 76 in The Defenders, who we obviously spoke about last week in our Marvel Netflix special.
Right.
I'm pretty certain we won't be seeing her in the Defenders Netflix TV series.
Do you know what? I'm genuinely impressed. I didn't think you would find anyone more stupid. And true to your word, this is a terrible fucking villainess.
It's funny, reading up on some of her original appearances. So right. In the comics, she actually tried to run for the President of the United States, which in 76, right? Yeah, woman for the presidency. So I don't know, I kind of think that Hillary Clinton probably read the comic way back when. And was inspired to make a run for the White House.
Sure, sure. She just hasn't got her organic computer on the go yet.
So can she morph her blobby head into anything?
She can morph her blobby head.
Even another face?
Oh, I don't think that. If you look at the panels there, you look at some of her appearances, basically wherever she morphs it still is like a red blobby mass of stuff. So
she hasn't thought this out.
She hasn't thought this out at all. There's no practical uses for it. I just don't understand.
How does she eat?
Good question.
Oh, she has a functioning neck, so I'm assuming she's
just troughs it in.
So the thing with the headmen, that's a whole other story with the headmen. They actually have their heads removed on different bodies.
Right.
So
oh god, this is just so bloody ridiculous. Sorry, everyone that loves comics, but this is just comics gone fucking.
Sorry,
mental.
Creator of Ruby Thursday, if you're listening, tweet in and tell us.
I mean, I wonder what sort of a person you are to even get even close to thinking about that as a concept. Like, what's going on?
I'm
going to
chop my head off and replace it with a blob that I can control.
Somehow.
It just goes against the laws of survival, doesn't it? The first thing I'm going to do in my conquest to take over the world is cut my own head off. Oh.
So I've surprised you.
God, yeah, this is really left of field.
Will you do another one next week?
I think so.
Are you confident that you're going to be able to top this?
Oh, I've got a couple of good ones lined up. I don't know.
Oh, so you've got some.
Yeah.
Ready.
If you'd like me to come back with this.
I love it. I just think it's the most ridiculous bloody thing I've ever seen.
Brilliant. Okay, I'm going to try and top it next week.
All right.
Are we going to put this on Twitter so that we'll see how outrageous that
so
is?
So what I've just shown the guys is two panels and a full body shot of the marvellous Ruby Thursday. We put this up on our BAM Comics Cast Twitter for you to have a look at. And feel free to comment.
She looks so bloody stupid.
She does look stupid with her organic head computer.
So that's it, we're done.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. Please do remember to like and subscribe and leave us a review. It helps on the iTunes charts, even though we were briefly number one.
We were number one in our category last week, so that was amazing.
Yeah, go us.
Go us.
We'll have a cup of Lemsip to celebrate. thanks again for listening. I am... have been Neil Gortz. You can find me on Twitter under Neil Gortz.
I have been Stu Taylor, and you can find me under Stu Nami.
And some of you're very lucky, you can find Carly
on Twitter.
But she's going to make it hard for you.
I will make it really hard. It's Carly Moxie Kim.
Good luck getting that first try.
And also you can find the BAM Comics Cast on Twitter under, I don't know, what's it under?
BAM Comics Cast.
BAM.
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 BAM. See, you'll all be seeing it next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Didn't mention bumming once.
Yeah.
No, I really had to hold it in a lot of the times.
What, bumming?